Okay, we're going to start with the mission at the bottom of the Mizayim with Bet. Hey, we're going to discuss Birkat Kohanim, which was one of the items that we mentioned earlier in the parak that must be said B'lashon HaKodesh. So now the Mishnah asks, Birkat Kohanim Ketzad. How is Birkat Kohanim done? So Bim Indida means outside of the Mikdash in the Gvulin, Omer Atar Shlosh Brachot. Then in Beit Seder, he breaks it up into three Brachot, meaning that you answer Amen after each section, after each Pasuk. And therefore it's three Brachot, Mikdash. But when in the base of Mikdash, when they get the Bracha, it's Bracha Achat. As Rashi points out, because we don't answer Amen in the Mikdash, and therefore you don't need to interrupt between each of the three Psukim, and therefore the three Psukim become a Bracha Achat. B'Mikdash, Omer at Hashem Kechtavo. In the Mikdash, they used to pronounce the Shem Yudkei Vavkei as it is written. Whereas, B'Midina, and the Gvulim, outside of the Mikdash, B'Kinuyav. The pronunciation that we give to Yudkei Vavkei, which is Adoshem, right, but not the way that it is written. B'Midina, outside of the Mikdash, Kohanim Nosim Et Yodeim Keneged Katfeim. The Kohanim hold their hands up at the shoulder level when they're duchening. Over Mikdash, but in the Mikdash, Agabe Roshehen. They have to have it above their heads, because the Shechina in the Mikdash, the Shechina is Shoret on the Kishrei Tzvotav, on the ends of their fingers, and therefore they must have their hands or their fingers above their head, so the Shechina is Shoret above them. Chutz Mikohen Gadol, Shino Magviyat Yadav, Lamala Min HaTzitz. The only exception to that is the Kohen Gadol, who does not raise his hands above the Tzitz, because the Tzitz has the Shem HaMashem on it, and because of the Shem that's written on it, it would be inappropriate for him to lift his hands above that level. Even the Kohen Gadol brings his hands above his head, above the tzitz, shenemar. Because by Aaron it says, that Aaron lifted up his hands and he blessed them. So we see that Aaron was nosek kapav, gave a bracha, and Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, gave that bracha. And we'll see later on in the Gemara the explanations of this machlokas. So now, Tan Rabbanan, Kodavarchu. Right, it says in the Parsha of Birkat Kohanim, it says Kotivarchu B'Lashon HaKodesh, right, that you must do it in Hebrew. It must be done in Lashon HaKodesh. Ato Omer B'Lashon HaKodesh Einayel B'Chol Lashon. You say it has to be done in Hebrew, but maybe it can be done in any language. Ne'emar Kan Kotivarchu V'Nel Emar LaHalan. It's called El Yamdu L'Varechet Am. So over here by Birkat Kohanim, it says Kotivarchu. And in Dvarim, when they're giving the bracha and Hari Grizim and Hari Val, it says Eliyam Dula Varechet Am Malahalan B'Lashon HaKodesh, just like by the bracha and Hari Grizim and Hari Val, must be done L'Shon HaKodesh, as we've learned previously, Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh. So too, by Birkat Kohanim, it must be done B'Lashon HaKodesh. Tosfos ask over here, why do we compare the bracha of Birkat Kohanim to the bracha of Hari Grizim and Hari Val? Why don't we compare the bracha to, say, for instance, Bachalta Zavato Ve'erachta of Birkat HaMazon, which can be said B'Chol Lashon? But Tosfos gives an answer. It's an interesting answer. They say, "Yesh lomar demistavele tfei lemelech birkat kohanim birkat hargrizim shistem ufurash b'torah." That both of them are explicit brachot in the Torah, meaning that the bracha birkat kohanim, we know what it is, the pesukim are written out, and even the brachot of hargrizim and harival, even though they're not explicit, but the arur, the curses are explicit, and we know that the brachot were the exact opposite. When it comes to benching, it says just achat zavat v'rachta, and never defines what that bracha is. Therefore, the Chazal believed that the limud was better, it made more sense from Birkat Kohanim to the bracha of Hargizim and Harival, and because of that, Malahalam B'Lashon Kodesh, Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh, that would demand that it be done in Hebrew. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarich, you don't need this, Kseir Shava, to the bracha of Hargizim and Harival, because Hari Omer, Ko Tevarchu, it says Ko, and Ad Shumar B'Lon Hazek, Ko is already a Lashon of Me'akev, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and since Ko means like this, you must say it, and like this means B'Lashon HaKodesh. The Chachamim would disagree with him, says that Ko is not the Lashon of Me'akev, or exactly like this, but rather Kacha would be, but not Ko. So now, the Gemara says, Tani Idach, we're going to have a series of Braitot that use the words from the Pesukim by Birkat Kohanim, and they're going to give the Drashot from each of these words. There's Tani Idach, we have another Braisa that says, Ko Devarchu, Ba'amida, that you must do Birkat Kohanim standing up. You say it must be done standing up, or maybe it can be done sitting down. It says over here by Birkat Kohanim Kol Devarchu. By Har Gizim and Har Yeval, it says these the other people that will stand to give the bracha. Malahalan kan just like by Har Gizim and Har Yeval, the bracha was given standing up. So too over here by Birkat Kohanim, it also be given standing up. So the same Sefer we use for Lashon HaKodesh will also be used to teach us that you must stand for Birkat Kohanim. Rabbi Natan Omer, Eino Tzarich, you don't need that. Harishon Omer, it says in the Pasuk, L'sharto ulevarech bishmo, it says that the Kohanim will be l'sharet ulevarech bishmo. So there we see that their Sherut, which is doing the Avodah on the Rech Mishmo, is to give the Birkat Kohanim. Ma Misharet Bamidah, just like doing Avodah must be done standing up, Af Mevarech Bamidah. There's a Hekesh between Sherut and Bracha. And just like Sherut is done standing up, Avodah is done standing up, so too Bracha must be done standing up. Umeshret Gufei Min Alon. But okay, fine, but how do you know that Avodah itself must be done standing up? Tichtiv Lamod L'Sharet. Because it says, that they must la'amod l'sharet, to stand up to do their service. So we see that shirut is done, service is done standing up. And just like service is done standing up, so too, and just like avod is done standing up, so too, bracha will be done standing up. So tani idach, we have another brisa. Kol devarchu b'nesiut kapayim. It says, kol devarchu must be when they give the birkat kohanim, they must do it with nesiut kapayim, with holding their hands out, outstretched hands, to give the bracha. How do you know that's the case? Nemarkan kol devarchu. Nemar lahalan, it says, by Aaron, by Yom Hashmini, by Saron et Yadav, Elaam, by Yevarachem. That Aaron held up his hand and gave them a bracha. Malahalan, just like the bracha by there was Nesiat Kapayim, Avkan Nesiat Kapayim, so there's a hakesh between bracha and Nesiat Kapayim. And just like by the bracha of Aaron, or actually here it seems to be it's almost like Zer Shava, just like the bracha by Aaron was done by Nesiat Kapayim, so to over here, by Birkat Kohanim, the bracha is done with Siyut Kapayim. So Kashalei, the Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan had a difficulty with this limud, but this Gzer Shava. Ima lahalan kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'vodat sipur. Right, if you're going to say that, then we know by Aaron there was all these other qualifications by the Miluim. When Aaron gave the bracha, what was the context? The context, well, first of all, was the kohen gadol giving the bracha. Number two, it was Rosh Chodesh, because it was Yom HaShmini, which was V'chodesh Nisan. And it was in the context of v'vodat sipur. Right, so Afghan, Kohen Gadol, Rosh Chodesh, Vatirudat, Tzibur. So you're going to say the same thing by regular Birkat Kohanim, that there's a demand for all of these items. So if you're going to say it's a Gezer Shava, and then you have to make a Gezer Shava Lagamre. And it should require, have all the same requirements as we find by the Miluim, Yom HaMiluim for Aaron. So Rabbi Natan Omer Eino Tzarich. Rabbi Natan says, we don't need this Gezer Shava. Hari Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Hu Uvanav Kol Yamim. It says, he and his children all the days will do the Avodah, Mekish Banav. Lo, there's a hekesh between his children, meaning the children of the Kohen Gadol, which means regular Kohanim, to him. Mahu b'nesiyat kapayim, just like the Kohen Gadol does nesiyat kapayim, so to his children, meaning regular Kohanim, can do nesiyat kapayim. So that addresses two of the issues from the pasuk by the Shmini Lemiluim, which is, number one, we said, well, if it's Shmini Lemiluim, it should require Kohen Gadol. That we say is, hu uvanav. So we have the hekesh to eliminate that. Ah, what about the fact that you have Rosh Chodesh and Avodat Zibur B'Shmini L'Mim? How do you eliminate that? So we say, no problem, because it says, Uchtiv Kol Yamim, any day. So it doesn't have to be Rosh Chodesh, doesn't have to be in the context of Avodat Zibur, it's Kol Yamim. So now the problem is, but that Pasuk in Devarim is only talking about Shirut, it's talking about Avodah, it's not talking about Bracha. So how do you know it has the same application by Bracha? So how it says, V'itkish Bracha L'Shirut, that we learned above, there's a Hekesh between L'Sharatol and Varech Bishmo, between Avodah and Bracha, there's a Hekesh, and that Hekesh allows us to make these Limudim by Avodah apply also to Shirut. As Rashi points out of here, how is this different? So Rabbi Yonatan had a problem before because we were making Gzeira Shava. So then it was a problem, but once we bring it to Hekesh, then we don't ask any questions on the Hekesh. The Hekesh teaches you, right, whatever you need to know, and that's it. But by Gzeira Shava, you have these questions or these issues that came up. So we have another Braisa. Kol Devarchu et Bnei Yisrael. B'Shem HaMeforash. They have used the name, the explicit name of Hashem. At Omer B'Shem HaMeforash, O'en Ela B'Kinoi. Do you say with the explicit name of Hashem, O'en Ela B'Kinoi? So what is Hashem HaMeforash, and what is Kinoi? So Tosfos brings down from the Rabbeinu Hillel that Kinoi means Kel, Elokim, or Tzvakot. He says that doesn't make sense. But he says what it means, Mefurash versus Kinoi, is like we said in the Mishnah. What does it mean, Mefurash means Kichtavo? You read it like it's written, the Yudkei Vovkei. Whereas Kinoi means the way that we read it, meaning that Adoshem. Meaning that we don't read it literally, the words, but we apply that name of Adoshem to the name of Hashem. So Talmud Lomar, it says, with some way it's Shemi, Shmi Ayim Yichud Li, says that you should place so much Shmi al B'nei Yisrael v'Avrachim, that you, I will place my name on B'nei Yisrael, Shmi is Shmi Ayim Yichud Li, my designated name. So designated name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Yochel at Gvulim Kein, you would think that you'd also use the Shem HaFurash outside of the Mikdash. Nemar Kavisam, which may even Nemar Lahalan, it says in Dvarim, Lasumet Shmo Sham, right, to place his name there. Malahalan Beit HaBechira, just like in Devarim, when it's talking about the Sumet Shemo Sham, the place that Hashem picks to place His name, which means Beit HaChira, the Beit HaMikdash, Avkan Beit HaBechira, so to over here, it's referring to the Mikdash. So only place, time that you use Sumet Shemi, Al B'nei Sova Arachim, Shemi HaMiuchadli, the Shem of Rash is when you are in the Mikdash, and not when you're in the Gvulim. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, you don't need that limud. Hari Omer, it says in the Pasuk in Shemot, B'chol Makom Asir Askir Et Shemi, Avoy Lecha, Uverachticha. So it says, anywhere that you mention my name, I will come to you and give you a bracha. Tzmar says, "V'chol makom sakadatcha." In any place. What do you mean? I mean in any place. So there, I mean, two questions really come out of this. Meaning, "V'chol makom" is first of all, can you say the Shem Hashem Hamifurash anywhere you want? And we know that's not the case. And because we know, as Rashi points out, that the pasuk says, "Zeh shmi v'zeh zechri the dor dor," right? That this is my name and this is my mention. Meaning that my shame and my zecher are not the same. Just, I'm not read the way that I am written. I mean, that you don't have permission to read the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei at the Ayah of the Mikdash. That's one problem. And number two is, right, is the Shekhinah present everywhere? I mean, now we know that the Hashem has designated a place where the Shekhinah is present. That's in the Mikdash. So how could it be, B'chol makom asher hazkirat shmi, wherever you mention my name, Avo lecha v'rachticha, I'll come and bless you. It's not. Ela mikra zim suras. This pasuk is out of order. Who? B'chol makom, say how you read the pasuk. B'chol makom asher avo lecha v'rachticha. Right, every place where I come and give you a bracha, Sham is kiret shemi. There you should mention my name. I mean that, where is it that I come to you? B'chol makom asher avo lecha. Where is that place? That is in the Olam Haoled. That is in the Mikdash. So in the place that I come to you, uverechtik and midabracha, sham eskir shmi, there you mention my name, meaning my name, shmi amiyuchadli, my shem hamifurash. So therefore, based on that, v'heichan avo elecha uverechticha, where do I come to give you a bracha? That's v'beit ha'chiriyah. Sham eskir shmi, where are you going to mention my name? That's going to be in the beit ha'bechira. So we see from that pasuk, we don't need any limud or any hekesh or gzer shavah. From that pasuk itself, we see that the only place that it's appropriate to mention the Shem Hashem is in the Beit HaMikdash. Tosfos makes an interesting point over here that we know that when it came to the time, but says the Gemara in Yoma tells us that from the after the time of Meis Shimon HaTzadik, once Shimon HaTzadik passed away, they stopped doing Birkas Kohanim with the Shem HaMiuchad. So even though the Mikdash was not destroyed yet, nevertheless they stopped doing the Birkas Kohanim with Shem HaMiuchad. And Tosfos says he thinks from this is the same reason as we are saying from this pasuk over here. Because what does it say over here? It says over here, where do you say the Shem HaFurash? That's B'chol Makom Asher Avo Elecha, the place where the Shekhinah is present, where it's obvious that the Shekhinah is there, Hashrat HaShekhinah is there, that's the place you mention the Shem HaMafurash. So Tosa says, based on that, V'nirim Izatam, Nimnu'u Akonim Levarech V'Shem Yuchad Mishimet Shimon HaTzadik. There's a reason, the fee, Shelo Zochu Shuv the Gilui Shekhinah. Once Shimon HaTzadik passed away, the Gilui Shekhinah was gone. I mean, there it says that Ner Maravi would blow out. All these things that had happened until the time of Shimon HaTzadik that showed the presence of Hashem in the Mikdash stopped happening at that point. Once they stopped happening, it was no longer appropriate to use the Shem HaFurash. Nir Louis. And here he adds something else to Tosfos that also the Rish says that a coin that gave Birkas Kohanim be yeshiva sitting down, lo asa lo klum, it's worthless. Ho yo be itkesh bracha l'shiru, because we make a hekesh between bracha and avoda. And we know when you do avoda sitting down that the avoda is worthless, it's mechulal. So too here, if you're going to give a bracha, if you give Birkas Kohanim sitting down, it'll also be worthless. All right, so now we continue in the Gemara's another braisa. Tanya Ida Kotuch Harachu at Bnei Israel, Ein Liela Bnei Israel, Gerim Nashim Avadim Shuchar Minayim Tamalomar Ermor Lahem Lekulu. Say it to them, meaning to everyone. So everyone's included in the Birkat Kohanim, not simply Bnei Israel. So Tanya Ida Chaminela Brisa Kotuch Harachu Panim Keneged Panim. Right, you have to do it face to face. Atomar Panim Keneged Panim, Ela Panim Keneged Orif. Or maybe it should be, you know, back to their faces. I mean, who says that you have to be face to face with the bracha? Tamalomar Ermor Lahem. Speak to them, kadam haomer lechavero, like someone who speaks to his friend. And we'll see, we'll just remember this, but later on in the Gemara today, we'll see that might have halachic implications as to where a person can stand with regards to the Kohanim, or how he stands when he's in different locations. Tani idach, we have another braisa that says, kotivarchu, that you should, this is the way you should give a bracha, be kol ram, that you should do it out loud. I mean, they don't have to scream it, but it has to be done in a strong voice. And it has to be loud enough that the call, this is a large call, has to be louder so that everyone can hear it. Or maybe you could do it quietly. Talmud Lomar in Morlahem. Like a person who speaks to his friend, that he's audible to his friend. So therefore, the Kohanim must be audible to the whole Kahal. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Naktinan, Lishnaim Kore Kohanim. When there are two Kohanim present, we call out to them, meaning we Kore them to come up and say Kohanim. The Echad, if it's only one Kohen who's come to Duchen, Ein Kore Kohen. We don't call Kohanim, Shenemar, because it says, Emor Lahem. It's, when we say calling out, it says Emor. You should say to them. And more lahem, meaning in plural, lahem is plural, lishnayim, to two of them. So the only time you call out to the kohanim to begin is when there are two of them, you call kohanim. But if there's only a single kohen, then you don't call out, because then it won't fit into and more lahem. So Amar Rav Chista, Naktian, kohen kore kohanim, that a kohen has to call the other kohanim, then Yisrael kore kohanim, but Yisrael may not do that. Shenemar, and more lahem, because it says, say to them. And he darshins lahem to mean amira mishilahem tehe. That the amira, the calling, should be of their own. Meaning that the kohanim themselves should do the calling for the bracha. The Gemara concludes, the loch is like abaye, that we differentiate between one kohen and two kohanim. When there are two kohanim, we call out kohanim. And when there's one kohen, we do not call him up. As opposed to that, the loch is not like Rav Chista, and a kohen does not need to call the other kohanim. But rather, Yisrael can call up, or should maybe even call up, the Kohanim, not another Kohen. Now, just to La Locha, there are some interesting issues here with regards to, first of all, who should call up the Kohanim? So it's a Machlok Zanachorn, and what's the best way to call up the Kohanim? Should it be the Chazan that calls up the Kohanim? Or should it be someone in the Kahal that calls up the Kohanim? Meaning that the Chazan shouldn't interrupt his davening. And since he shouldn't interrupt his davening, someone in the Kahal should call up the Kohanim. Or do we say no? The Chazan, just like he's going to be Makri the Psukim before the Kohanim, so too he should be the one that calls out the Kohanim. So there are many who believe that if the Chazan himself is the one who's going to say Kohanim, then he should not just say the word Kohanim, but he actually should say it under, you know, quietly to himself. He should say Elokeinu Elokeinu Avoteinu Baruchinu Barbachah Mishlosh B'Torah, that he should say that whole memra, and then when he gets to the word Kohanim, he should say the word Kohanim out loud. So therefore, that's a compromise that the Chazan can say it without it being a hefsek in the middle of his tefillah, because that way he will say Elokeinu Elokeinu Avoteinu, so that would be a part of the tefillah, but then he'll say out loud Kohanim, so he had the makri for the Kohanim. So that is generally in chutzpah, it's the minhag is that the chazan does that and calls out kohanim, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is that someone from the kahal calls out to the kohanim. Okay, now, continuing in the Gemara, we're going to have a number of memros from Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Some of them have to do with Birkas Kohanim, some don't, and then again, at the end, we'll come back to Birkas Kohanim, and then we'll do some stuff, Aliba de Hilchoso. How do we know that Hashem desires the Birkat Kohanim? Because the way the Birkat Kohanim is written is not that Bnei Yisrael should get the bracha from me, but it says, I will place my name on it. Meaning that Hashem is looking forward to, or is looking to place his name on Bnei Yisrael, so he needs that. When the Kohanim to give the bracha, he's able to do this. And so much me, so we see that Hashem is looking forward to giving the bracha to Klal Yisrael doing the Birkat Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Kol Kohen Shemavarech Mitbarech. Any Kohen who gives the Birkat Kohanim will be blessed. V'sheinu Mevarech, one who does not give the bracha, einu Mitbarech, will not be blessed. Shneamar V'Avracha Mevarechecha. Right, those that you give a bracha to will be blessed. But here, those that give a bracha, right, those that give a bracha Mevarecha will be blessed. Because when it says at the end of the pasuk, "Vani avarchem," some of the Shemayim say, "Vani avarchem," that's referring to Bnei Yisrael. Yeah, that's what we learned. The Gemara teaches us right in Chulin that the bracha goes to the Kohanim, and then Hashem is maskim al yadam, or Hashem brings it on the hand. Because it says, "Some of the Shemayim Bnei Yisrael," the Kohanim give the bracha to Bnei Yisrael, "Vani avarchem." Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu says he will give the bracha, or he will be maskim to that bracha. So that "Vani avarchem" is not going back on the Kohanim, but "Vani avarchem" is going on the Bnei Yisrael. So we need another pasuk to teach us that the Kohanim themselves get a bracha. Now we learn from Racha Mevarecha. Tam Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Kol Kohen Sheino Ola Tuchan Over B'Shlosha Asei. Any Kohen that does not go up to Gidu Birkas Kohanim violates three Aseis. One is Kol Tuvarchu, this is the way you give the bracha, and more to him you should say to them, is somewhat Shemi. So all these are Tzivuim in the Pasuk of Birkat Kohanim, and a person who stands, a Kohen who's there and does not go up to give the bracha, violates all three of these Aseis, of these Tzivuim. Rav Amar, Choshishin Shem Ben Magrusho Ben Chalutzo, that a Kohen doesn't go up. Forget about, what do you mean, over by say, we worry about this, whether he is really a qualified Kohen. Maybe he is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzo, he's a Chalau, meaning that he's the son of a Kohen who married a Grusha Chalutzo, makes him puzzle the Kohen, and that's why he's not going up to give a bracha. Velo pli, they're not arguing, had to select the prakim. That is, if a Kohen goes up on occasion, meaning that he goes up to Shabbos and Yom Tov, he goes up, but he's not going up during the week, then we know he's not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, because he goes up sometimes. That's just the problem, that he's over Basay, because he's not going up. He's violating the Tzivuyim to go up and give a bracha. Right? Ha, the low select the program, if he never goes up to Birgit Birgit Kohanim, then we question whether this person is a qualified Kohen, whether he really is Ro'oi to be a Kohen. Maybe he has a Pgam, maybe he's a Chalau. The Tosfos points out that it doesn't literally have to be that he goes up for Birkat Kohanim. If he does anything else that qualifies him as a Kohen, meaning that he goes and takes Matnot Kahuna, he does something else and acts as a Kohen in some other fashion, then we don't worry about this Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza issue. Then it simply becomes the issue of the Aseh violating the Tzivuyim of Hashem. V'ara Yishuv Ben Levi, Kol Kohen Sheino Oleh Ba'avudah, Shuv Eino Oleh. Right, any Kohen that does not go up at the time of Avodah, what's Avodah, meaning at the time of the Bruch of Ritzeh, any Kohen that doesn't get the Duchen during Ritzeh, in Ola, Shnemar, it says by Aaron, when he gave the Bruch, it says, Vayisaron, et yedav el ha'am vayivarecheim, Aaron didn't see it, Kapayim gave a Bruch to the Am. And afterwards it says, Vayirayt ma'asot ha'chatat v'olav el ha'shlamim. Then, only then did he come down from doing the Avodah. So you see that Birkat Kohanim must be done in the context of Avodah. So too over here, the Kohanim must start or be in the process of beginning their bracha in Avodah. That's be incorporated in the bracha of Avodah. And before in Ritzeh, they must be at the Duchen. Now we're going to qualify that. That's not the case that they have to be at Ritzeh, they have to be on the Duchen. Any of the Gemara says, is that really true? V'hav Rav Ami Vervasi Salkei. Rav Ami Vervasi were not on the Duchen at the time of Ritzeh. They still went up and did Birkat Kohanim. Where it says, Rav Ami Vervasi Mikarav Akre Karayu, that they moved their feet. Meaning that only thing you have to do in Ritzeh is that the Kohen would have to begin the process of going towards the Duchen. But they didn't reach the Duchen by Ritzeh, but they got there even after Ritzeh. So that's the truth. That's the halacha. The halacha is that a Kohen does not need to be on the Duchen by the time Ritzeh is set, but rather he must be Oker Raglav. He must uplift. He must do it. Be in the process of starting to walk towards the Duchen at the time that Ritzeh happens. So there's a question in the postgame with regards to a Kohen has to first go out and wash the Tilas Yadayim, and then from Tilas Yadayim must walk back in to go into the Duchening. So if he already moves towards the Duchen after he's washed his hands, so that qualifies as a Kiras Regel to go towards the Duchening. Question is, what happens if he's Oker Raglav and Avodah to go out to wash? Does that qualify for Birkat Kohanim? So the Mishnah brings down, he doesn't think that that's good, that when a person is doing Oker Raglav to go out for an Tilas Yadayim, then even though that is a hechsher mitzvah for Birkat Kohanim, nevertheless, since the akira is not to walk towards the duchen, but rather to walk outside, that does not qualify as akira tzraglav to begin during avodah. And based on that, the Mishnah Berurah says, if a Kohen did not wash before Ritzeh, and now he needs to wash, he should, at the time they say Ritzeh, he should walk towards the Duchen first, so he makes an approach to the Duchen, that'll qualify him to Duchen, and then either he can go out and wash after that, or they should bring the water to him, and he should wash up by the Duchen at that point in time. Tani Rav Oshia, and we have a supporting statement from Oshia, Lo Shanu El Shlo Akarat Raglav. That's only if he didn't move his feet. If he moves his feet, then he can go up and Duchen, he can give the Birkat Kohanim. It's not Nami, and we have a mission that supports this position. Im Haptachto Shino Sev Kavar B'Chuz V'Tvilo Rashai. A Kohen who's diving for the Amud, right, is he allowed to do Birkat Kohanim or not? So here, it depends. If he can do Birkat Kohanim and then go back to begin Sim Shalom and he won't make a mistake, then he's Mutar. If not, then he should not be Mevarech. Ravinimbo, he answers, Halo Akar, right? He wasn't Oker's Raglav by Ritzeh, so how could he be Duchenin? Eladinad Purto, that he moved his feet a little bit when he was diving for the Obad. Alchanami Dakar Purto, so to hear. As long as, excuse me, you make a move towards the Duchen, that is sufficient to qualify one to be Olo Duchen in Ritzeh. And that because Birkat Kohanim must be incorporated in Avodah, and we see that from Aaron. Birkat Kohanim is a part of Avodah and must be in the context of Avodah. Now we'll have some other memorot from Yishuv ben Levi, and then we'll come back to Birkat Kohanim again. Remember Yishuv ben Levi, ain't not named kosher bracha the varecha the tov ayin. Shouldn't give a kosher bracha to bench or to give the to say the bracha over kosher bracha the tov ayin to someone who's generous. Shenemar tov ayin hu yivorach, the one who is generous of generous spirit, but will be blessed. Kinatan milachmo ladal, right? Because he gave from his bread to the poor person. So over there it says, Yivorach, he will be blessed. Al tikra Yivorach, ala Yivarech. Right? Not that Yivarach, he will be blessed. Rather, Yivarech, that he will give a bracha. The one who is a Tovayin should be the one who gives a bracha. How do you know that even birds know about people who are miserly or stingy? Shnemar kichinam mizura harashet b'nei kol bal kanaf. So when they go out to when the trappers go out to trap the birds, they used to spread out, you know, wheat or barley outside in their nets so that the birds will come. And it says there in Mishlei of beforehand, it's talking about people who are going to go plunder others and don't worry about other people's, you know, their own money. They always go and steal from others. So then it says about them, kichinam mizura harashet, they spread out their nets for naught. Because even the birds know that they are miserly, they're tzari ayin, and therefore they won't even go eat from their foods. Anyone who gets a noah from a tzari ayin is over belav, shenemar, because it says in Mishlei, al tilcham et lechem ra ayin, don't break bread or take the bread of those that are miserly. Ki, kemo sha'ar b'nafsho, kein hu ochel echol ushte yomar lach. Right, kein hu. Echol shtei umar lach, because he's sharp enough show. We'll see in a minute what that means. Right, that's what he does. Echol shtei umar lach, he'll say that he wants you to eat and drink, and then in his heart he will think otherwise. So what's kimo sharp enough show? So Rashi interprets either shar can be either bitter or it can mean to account for. So kikimo sharp enough show kenu. Right, that because when you go break bread with him, when you eat from him, he's taking an account of everything you eat. Right, he says, go eat and drink, but as you're eating it, he's taking note of everything that you're eating, that he's bothered by every little piece that you take, or that it embitters him, that he's upset by every piece that you take. So you see that it's the wrong thing. Don't break bread with those that are ra'ayin. Rav Nachman Yisukamar over b'shnei lavim, over on two lavim, it says, al tilcham, and it says, v'al tit av, that you should not desire that the possessions of the tzara'ayin, of the miserly one, because again, you will not get, or if you do take from the Tzar Ayin, he will always be either bitter or take an accounting of it, and therefore it'd be inappropriate for you to eat or take that of which belongs to the Tzar Ayin. Valtitav is also early on in that same parak, it has the term Valtitav. Valmar Bishum and Levi, Egla Rufa Bail Bishvil Tzari Ayin. Egla Rufa only comes because of those that are miserly. Shinamar, so I'm not going to explain this heavily because we're going to get to this in a couple of Dapim, and there, when we deal with that Mishnah, we'll talk about it more explicitly. Shinamar says, Anu Vamru Yadena Lashavkuet Adamazet. When they bring the Egla Rufa, it says that the Zakanim say that we didn't kill this person. Well, we thought that they were the killers? Of course not. Hello, Bayli Yadenu Fratanua. He didn't come to our hands, and we let him go. V'lorinu, and we didn't see him. V'inachu, and then we left him alone. Lo, what does that mean? Lo, b'yodeinu fratunuru b'lomazanot. He didn't come to our hands, and we let him go without food. Because he went without food, maybe he was very hungry, and he had to plunder people on the way. And because of that, he was killed. Or we didn't see him leaving the town, and we saw that he needed to be accompanied, and we didn't send him without accompaniment. So you see that? Because if someone's a tzarayin doesn't take care of the person, meaning giving them bread so they won't have to plunder others, or it's giving them leviah to be generous and take care of them, then that's we end up with this possibly of an egla rufa, someone gets killed, and then the zakenim have to say, we didn't see him and nothing happened, meaning that there was because of the tzar ayin, because they were not generous with this individual. So Amar Ada, Amar Rabbi Simlai, Beit Knesset Shukula Kohanim, Kulan Olim Leduchan. So if the Beit Knesset is all made of, it's just a Beit Knesset of Kohanim, everybody goes up to give a bracha and nobody's left behind. Lemi mevarchim, who do they give a bracha to? Amar b'zeir lachem shebesadot. The people out in the fields, they give a bracha, and those that are in the fields will receive the bracha. And the Shulchan Aruch brings in also that the women and children in the shul will answer amen, but the Kohanim all go up and give a bracha. So when it says, v'ini, is that really true? V'atani abu b'reid rab min yamin barchia am shachorei ha'konim enim b'fal bracha. The am that stands behind the Kohanim, meaning that when the Kohanim are duchanim and facing the kahal, if you're standing behind the Kohanim, then you're not in the bracha. So how could it be that the am that are out in the sadot are in the bracha, and the am that are just standing in the shul, they're just behind the Kohanim, they're not including the bracha? The Gemara says, Lokasha, Hada Nisei, Hadla Nisei, because that depends on their circumstance. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Anisei? Anisei means those people out in the fields, they have to go to work, so they couldn't come to get the bracha in shul. So therefore, they're considered anusim, and when you give the Kohanim give the bracha, that bracha will relate to them as well. They will be included under that bracha. Adlo Anisei, when you're in shul, right, what's the problem in shul? Because in Shul, you could have been there in front of the Kohanim. You could have been available to do it, Panim and Panim. The fact that you stood behind them, that's already a Pekiyo. That's already shows that you don't really, right, care about the Kohanim or care about the Berkas Kohanim. So Rashi points out, Lo Anisi, what does that mean? Omdim Bebe Knesset, Chwe Kohanim, Lo Anisi. Those that stand behind the Kohanim are not Anisi. Elish Eina Bracha Chashuva Lehem. It's just not, the Bracha is not so important to them. Doesn't that hold standing with them? La Korag Lehem. To move themselves, to move in front of the Kohanim so they can do it properly, panim el panim. Therefore, they're not included in the bracha. As Tosus points out over here, and Rashi has brought down the locha says that it's not dafka am shebasadot, and those are in shul, but there's also an in-between stage, which is those are found, right, in the city. Right, so that Tosus says those are in the city are not considered anisei. People who are available who come to shul and they don't come to shul, they're not considered anisei, and they're the equivalent of Am Shachri HaKohanim, that they didn't bother. It wasn't something that they really cared about enough to come to shul and get the Birkat Kohanim, so they will not be included in that Birkat Kohanim. On the other hand, the people out in the Sadot are anisei. Right? It was impossible for them to be there because they had to be out in their Malacha and they were too far away, and therefore, since they are anisei, they are included under the Bracha. So again, the issue here is that what's your attitude towards Birkat Kohanim? If the reason you can't be there for the Birkat Kohanim or you can't be in the right position is because you're anus, that means it's impossible for you to be there, it's impossible, then we say anus and then you're included in the bracha. If not, if there was possibility of you being there, just you didn't want to make the effort, or it was a little more effort for you to do it, or to move in front of them was more effort, that we say is because you're not treating the bracha properly. And since you're not treating the bracha properly, you're not giving it its proper standing, number one. And number two is you show almost that you don't care about the bracha. In that case, you will not be included in the bracha if you're not, again, in shul facing them appropriately. Now the Gemara says, well, what about Vahatani? Rav Simi Mibirta de Shechure was from the capital, royal city of Shechure. Beit Knesset Shekula Kohanim, Miktzatan Olim, Miktzatonim, Amen, Amen. Beit Knesset, it's all Kohanim. Some of them should go up to do the Birkas Kohanim, and some of them should stay behind to answer Amen to the Bracha. So lo kasho, that's not a question. Adi Ishtar Be'asara, Adi Lo Ishtar Be'asara. That has to do with the fact that if there are 10 left, or are there not 10 left in the Kahal. So here, if there are 10 Kohanim that will be left in the Kahal when they go up to Duchen, meaning that aside from the people who go up to Duchen, there will still be 10 people left in the Kahal. In that case, the 10 Kohanim should stay behind, a minion should stay behind, and whoever's in excess of the minion should go up and Duchen, and the 10 will include the Chazan here. Even though a Chazan generally doesn't answer Amen, but he's Muftach, he can answer Amen. So here, if you have 10 Kohanim can answer Amen to the Bracha, the Duchenin, then we say Kohanim go, excess Kohanim go up and give a Bracha. If there will not be 10 Kohanim left in the crowd to answer Amen, then we say all the Kohanim should go up and Duchen. So the two questions that we have to ask here. Number one is, why by Yisrael? Meaning, for instance, if you had 10 Kohanim in there was a minion made out of 9 Kohanim and 1 Yisrael. In that case, we wouldn't say, well, some of the Kohanim are, let's say, 11 people. There were 10 Kohanim in an Yisrael. We wouldn't say, oh, leave people behind to answer Amen. Oh, no, all the Kohanim go up and give the bracha, and the Yisrael answers Amen. So how come by Yisrael we don't require a minion to stay behind to answer Amen, but by Kohanim we require a minion to create the Amen? So Mishbura says by in the Beral Locha, he says, well, there's a difference. By Yisrael, who the bracha is intended for, therefore even a single Yisrael can answer Amen, because that's who the bracha is intended for. So if he's there and answers Amen, that qualifies all the other Kohanim to go up and give the bracha. On the other hand, the bracha is not intended for the Kohanim. So when the Kohanim stay back in the Kahal, if they're not a minion, they're not qualified to be the Kahal, quote-unquote the Kahal, or to receive the bracha. As a minion, once they become a minion, they become a Kahal. Then they become representative of, we call it Kol Klal Yisrael, they become representative of the Kahal as a general class, but not as individuals. And in that instance, then they can stay back. If there are 10 of them, they stay back and they answer Amen. But if they're going to be less than 10 of the Kohanim, since the Kohanim are not the ones who are supposed to receive the bracha, and as individuals, right, it wouldn't be important for them to stay back and say Amen, therefore they all go up and duchen in that instance. That's one issue. The second issue is, how could it be that we ask the Kohanim to stay back and answer Amen when they have we said before that a Kohen doesn't go up to duchen, is over b'shlosh aseis. So you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to go up and duchen. And on the other hand, you're telling them to stay back and answer Amen instead, like for what seems to be a takanas d'rabbanan. So why do we sell them to be over d'oraisa to do that? So it's very interesting. The Beral Locha brings down that the possibility that it's not a mitzvah to say d'oraisa here. Right, because he brings from the Prima Garden. Because no, Yisrael's asking for the bracha, calling him to give a bracha. And based on that, it's also midrabanan. If that's the case, then whether the Kohanim go up or don't go up, right, is only a question derabanan, and therefore the Rabbanan came in mitakein whether they should go up or they should not go up. And it will not be in violation of any deoraisa. So gufa, tana abe braid of Armenian barchia. Am shachrei konim eno b'chla bracha. Am that's behind the konim and on the bracha. Pshita. Right, so the Gemara says, Pshita, arika ba'be gutze lo mifsake. If you have tall people and short people, or about one tall person and blocking another short person, that's not a mahapsik. Teva lo mifsake. If you have a teva there, that's not mifsaka. Mechitza, if you have a full-blown mechitza, mai. Is that mapsik between the Birkas Kohanim and the recipients, those the Kohanim that give the bracha and the recipients in the bracha? So Tashma, Damri B'shum and Levi, Afil Mechitza Shal Barzel, Inum Afsek, Ipini Shal Avim, Shebe Shamayim. That even a mechitza of Barzel, even an iron curtain, you know, that stands between, will not stand between Bnei Yisrael and Avim Shebe Shamayim. So we see, just like by Tefillah, it does not be, it's not mapsik, so too by Birkas Kohanim, a mechitza will not be mafsik. So Tosfos over here says, when we ask about the mechitza by the Kohanim, that is, right, below an isek in my belay, this is even when they're not a nusim, because it's different than the Am Shachrei HaKohanim. The Am Shachrei HaKohanim show that they don't care about the brocha. But when you have a hefsek mechitza, since they're not behind the Kohanim, they're not, you know, back of their necks towards the Kohanim, then we don't consider it to be such a kpeda that you're trying to get away from the brocha. You're standing behind a mechitza. That is not a big problem. So now, Tosfos says, based on our Gemara who brings this down, it sounds like the same din is by tefillah. By tefillah that you can't have mechitzas between a person, that won't be mafsik, the gabe and minyan. So, but we know the halacha is different, meaning that we know that if you have a chazan, if you have part of minyan in one room and a part of minyan in another room, the question of whether they're mitzdarf or not has to do either with the size of the room, which is if you're in the big room or in the small room, who's drawn after who. But we see over there that there is a qualification to make a minyan, then a mechitza makes a difference. You can't have five people on one side of mechitza, five people on the other side of mechitza. That doesn't qualify as a minyan. So Stosel says you have to differentiate. That's exactly the case. When it comes to being making a minyan or being mitzdarf for minyan, that they must be in the same location, and their mechitza will make a difference. That means that you must be in the same room, you must be in the same location to create the minion. But once the minion is created, then anyone else who wants to be mitzdarif to join the minion, then a mechitza is not mafsik. So therefore, the people who are on the other side of the mechitza then can be part of the minion. They're not mitzdarif to the minion, but they are considered qualified as part of the minion because they're mechitza mafsekit. And so that would be the comparison to tefillah to Birkas Kohanim. Just like Birkas Kohanim, that mechitza is not mafsik between the bracha the Kohanim are giving to the Yisrael that's out there, so too, when the minion performs whatever the minion is doing or exercises its rights as a minion to do things, then anybody who's on the other side of the mechitza will also be included what the minion does, because mechitza is not mafsik. But the gabe tzura for the minion to create the minion itself, then a mechitza would be mafsik. Alright, so the last halacha that we're going to do here. Yibaluhu tzadim mahu. To the side of the Kohanim, what's the din? We have a Mishnah, the Tanah, a person who was trying to mitahir things with the paraduma and the mei taro, as if he sprinkles it in front of him, he's a lachrav and went behind him. Lachrav, he sprinkled behind him, he's a lefanav and went in front of him, as a tob psula. In all these instances, azaz psula, because you have to have kavana. Right, and therefore, since he didn't have the kavana to do it in front and went back, or back and went front, that's not doing what he wanted. Therefore, it's psula. But if he did it lefanav, he's intending to do it in front of him, he's out tzadim, shebefanav, and it went to the sides in front of him, hazato kshira. Then his hazah is a good hazah. So that too, the Gemara is going to say, applies here by Birkat Kohanim. Those are to the side of the Kohanim, are included in the bracha. So what does that mean to the side of the Kohanim? So Rashi said, Stadim Shesh Menu Lahalan, on the sides that are still in front of the Kohanim, they're still from the front part of the Kohanim out, that will be included, but the sides that are towards the back of the Kohanim will not be included in Birkat Kohanim. So now, the Mishnah Berurah asks about, or the Bar Halacha discusses an issue about which way a person should face. Because we say that you should face panim el panim. So when you're in front of the Kohanim, we know which way you should face, because you should face towards the Kohanim. And even if you're in front of the Kohanim towards the sides, you know, you're way in front of the Kohanim, you're back in the shul somewhere and you're on the sides, there too you should face towards the Mizrach, you face towards, or the, towards Yerushalayim, you face towards the Kohanim, because that is panim el panim. But when you're on the Tzadim, right, which way should you face? what is considered panim el panim. So the Bir Halacha brings down two possibilities. One possibility is that you should actually turn towards the Kohanim. If you're on the side of the Kohanim, a little in front of them, that you should turn and face a little towards the Kohanim, because that would be considered panim el panim, because that's called emor lahem. We said the way two people would speak. Two people would speaking, where they wouldn't stand right next to each other, one facing each way, right? But rather they'd turn a little bit towards each other. So to over here, you have to turn towards the Kohanim a little bit to get the bracha. Mishabura in the Berlach in the end rejects this and says, possibly you wouldn't have to. You could stand forward. Because he says many times that people, when they're talking, they stand side by side, and they're talking to each other from side by side, even though they're not facing each other. And so to over here, maybe that qualifies as a part of the ham, even though they are standing next to each other. He brings an interesting halacha down, that whether when people have assigned seats in the shul, when they buy seats in the shul, and they have certain seats that are on the Mizrach wall, and they're in front of the Kohanim, is that considered anisei? Are they considered anisei because they don't have another seat in the shul? That's their assigned seat, that's the seat they bought, and therefore they can't go somewhere else, another seat in the shul, because it belongs to someone else. So they're considered anisei, and therefore they can stay there and get the Birkas Kohanim, or do they have to move? So there's those that say or suggest that they're considered anisei. The Mishabur says he doesn't think so. He thinks that they can move. They're empty spaces in the shul, in the aisles, on the bima. You can move away and move in front of the Kohanim, even though you're not in someone else's seat, and therefore they would not be considered anisei, and that would be considered achrei kohanim. If they're achrei kohanim, in order to get the bracha, they must move in front of the Kohanim. Okay, we'll stop here.